And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, I'll tell you, prophecy is popping out all over the world, or at least things that are going to lead to incredible prophetic events. And I'm just, sometimes I just sit in my living room chair and just staring out at the beautiful wooded area next to my house. And I think about these incredible things and how God's word is coming true. And I have to smile sometimes just sitting there. Well, we're going to be smiling a lot today because, man, I've never seen so much news in one single week. For example, the Pope came to the United States. The Pope, he spoke to our Congress. Now, they tell us all the time about separation of church and state. Notice none of the media complained at all. They were happy about it. Oh, they gave the Pope maximum coverage. Now, if anyone other than the Pope, I mean, some Protestant had got up and spoke, then said, oh, how horrible, we should separate church and state. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, my goodness. How can you listen to that religious man? Ooh. But there was the Pope. Now, did he have anything to say? No, he didn't have one. He didn't have one important thing to say, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Hey, the neocons, they're back. Actually, they never left. Bill Kristol, oh yes, the Weekly Standard Magazine, that crumb bum's back at it again. We'll talk about that, and of course, there's a little lady in Kentucky who's county clerk, and she says she doesn't want to sign those marriage certificates for the same sex. Well, she was put in jail for a few days by a judge, but now the Pope has come to America, and he privately, secretly met with this lady. Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. And then stone throwers in Israel. Oh, my goodness. Now they've counted them. They count every one. And there's 161 incidents of stone throwing. Oh, my. Oh, they're going to do something about it. It's international news, stone throwing in Israel. Well, I got news for them. During the Baltimore demonstrations and riots a few months ago, you know, when those six policemen were arrested because of the black guy who died in the back of their police van, there were demonstrations by blacks, and, well, they threw a lot more than 161 stones or rocks in one day. I was watching one of the newsreels, and my goodness, they must have thrown hundreds of stones. It's not a big deal, but the Israelis say it is. Planned Parenthood, what a bunch of murderers, harvesting baby parts, making money from it. Aborting little babies and then taking the parts and cutting them up and selling them. And that filthy, And then they paid demonstrators to go after Carly Fiorina, the Republican candidate for president. And she was bombarded with condoms. They threw condoms at her at one of her rallies. Isn't that horrible? Planned Parenthood? What a bunch of snakes. Well, we're going to talk about House Speaker Boehner. Under pressure from the conservatives, that's you and me, he's resigning. But he says he's got to take care of a little bit of business before he goes. Oh, yes. He met secretly with Nancy Pelosi. We'll talk about what happened there. Meanwhile, his replacement, a guy named McCarthy, is getting ready to take over the job. We're all going to be told that he'll be a big improvement over Boehner. Baloney! Baloney! There's no difference, none at all. He's a monster, too. He's a liberal. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Talk about a new Gallup poll that showed half of Americans feel that America's a threat to them. Oh, let's see. Homosexuals. They want to get married. Why do they want to get married? Do they love the institution of marriage? Do they respect it? Do they admire it? No, they want to destroy the institution. We'll have some proof of that in just a moment. These are just amazing things. By the way, The other night, you know, Wanda and I were sitting and reading, and Wanda says, hey, Tex. I said, yes, sweet. She said, well, isn't tonight the night of that blood moon? Isn't this when the Shemitah is supposed to occur? In other words, we're going to have, you know, one of these blood moons, and then bad things are going to happen, and blah, 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 you know, she was saying. I said, well, I'm one of those fake things, yeah. She said, what do you think about that? I said, well, let me put it this way. I'm fixed to go to bed in about an hour here, and I'm going to sleep tight. I'm going to sleep tight. There's nothing going to happen. It's going to be a fake. And it has to be a fake. And by the way, nothing happened. Nothing. A lot of people went to bed. They thought, well, tomorrow morning, the world won't be here. It's going to be destroyed by some comet. Some planet is going to smash into the earth. Oh, my goodness. Planet X is coming. That's the end of everything. Oh, one more. You know, friends, I must be too old, but I've gone through about 10 of those things. The end of the world, and they give me a date. When they give you a date, you know they're fakers. You know it's not true. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. These people are fakes. I don't know why they don't read the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. If they did, then no, it's not going to happen. Well, okay, we got a lot to get. By the way, about deportation, we'll talk about that in a little bit. We've just got so much. How about Russia attacking ISIS forces in Syria? What about that? They've got air bases there now. And meanwhile, Red China has one of its destroyer ships headed for the Mediterranean. They're going to get involved too. The Red Chinese, the Russians. They're going to get there on behalf of Syria. America and Israel hate Syria. Now, I don't hate it myself. In fact, most Americans don't even know where Syria is on a map. They couldn't tell you for anything. It's some little nation of 21 million people. They've never made war with anybody except their enemy, Israel. And that was after Israel conquered Palestine and massacred people there. They're just nice, pleasant people in Syria. And the United States is determined to destroy Assad, their leader. And I was listening to Fox News today, Fox Radio News. There was a guy on, he was telling me what the deal is. Let me tell you the deal, he said, is, you see, the United States wants to bring democracy and freedom to Syria. So we're trying to replace Assad. We want to put in a democratic regime, and then we're going to have elections. And he went on and on, and I wanted just to take my boot and throw it at the radio. There is no democracy in the Middle East, folks. There's no democracy in Israel. You say, oh, wait, just a minute, Tex. There is a democracy in Israel. Didn't the people vote? Didn't the people all get together and vote for Netanyahu? No. Only certain people that have a mother who's a Jew, who are authenticated to be real Jews, although there's no real authentication, as I showed my book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline, none of the people who call themselves Jews are Jews. But if you call yourself a Jew and you got some authentication that your mother called herself a Jew, then you can vote. But other than that, you can't vote. Now, what if you're in the United States here, right? And you call up the polling place and say, can I vote today? And they say, well, what religion are you? Well, I'm Christian. No, you can't vote. Well, who can vote? Only Muslims. Wouldn't you get a little mad, folks? Wouldn't you get a little angry? Wait just a minute. I'm a Christian. I'm a citizen here too. Why can't I vote? Only citizens can vote. That's what they do in Israel. If you're a Christian living there, shut up. If you're a Muslim living there, shut up. If you're not authenticated to be the correct kind of Jew, shut up. You cannot vote. That's not a democracy, friends. That's a theocracy. It's run by a religious party. If they did that in America, we'd all be angry. Why aren't we angry about Israel? Now, I realize that in the Muslim countries, they don't have any freedoms. And most of them, they don't have any democratic regimes. And you say that's wrong. They only have dictators there, like in Iran. Well, they voted for Ahmadinejad. Now they voted for Rouhani. They vote there. We say, wait, just a minute. Khomeini, he's Ayatollah Khomeini, he's the guy really in charge. He's the guy, the power behind the throne. That's true. So they really don't have a true democracy there. But they don't have any in Israel either. Don't tell me that's the only democracy in the Middle East. It is not a democracy. It's a theocracy. And let me give you some news, folks. If you really think we have a democratic country here in America, oh, please. There's a small handful of men who choose who will run for president and who will win the nomination of their party, and then they choose who will get the election. There's only a certain small group of men. I know who they are. I even know their names. This is a dictatorship in America. It is. Well, let's talk about a lot of these things. I've already got started here, I see. Kim Davis. She's county clerk there in Kentucky. And she refused to sign the certificates of gays getting married. She wasn't going to let a man marry a man and a woman marry a woman. Of course, that's a total hoax. That's stupid for the Supreme Court to vote on that 5-4 and think they can rule over all of the Americans. So Kim Davis was very brave in this. She was put in jail a few days and threatened. Well, when the Pope was here, guess what? He met secretly with her. He met privately with Kim Davis. Now, at first I thought, well, that's good. That's a good thing. He encouraged her. When did I find out about this meeting? Well, the day after the Pope left America. He's already gone. He didn't want to give any publicity to this. He says he's against same-sex marriage. Well, no, he's never really said that, has he? Can you show me in one speech he gave where he actually said, I oppose, or the church opposes, same-sex marriage? You cannot, friends. He did not do that. That's why he met secretly with Kim Davis. He was afraid. He was frightened. He was just, ooh, shaking in his boots. Somebody may find out while I'm here. There may be demonstrations. The gays may not like it. They like him, you see. They love this man. Now, I don't really know whether he's a gay or not, but I know he supported homosexual rights. For example, this Pope sent a letter to the author of a lesbian book. A lesbian wrote a book entitled something on the order of I Have Two Mummies. I Have Two Mummies. And the Pope wrote her back a letter and said, thank you for demonstrating your Christian values with this book. Christian values, the little girl, it's a kid's book, she has two mommies, meaning both of them are lesbians. He told the author, thank you for demonstrating your Christian values. Then in an interview, this Pope, Pope Francis, was asked, is homosexuality a sin? You know what his answer was? Quote, who am I to judge? Who am I to judge the homosexual? What a fake. You're just a coward. Plus, you're probably a queer. You must be a queer or you wouldn't be. Come on, who am I to judge? The Bible judges for you. You don't judge anything. You don't have to. Quote the Bible, dummy. Now, I know you Catholics out there are going to write to him and say, oh, you call the Pope a dummy. He is a dummy. Who am I to judge? You're a fake church leader. That's what you are. You're a pretend Pope. If you cannot judge, you cannot lead. I can just see General George Patton in World War II. Should we attack the Germans on this battle line, or should we just stay back and just huddle ourselves and shake in our boots? Well, who am I to judge? As those astronauts sit in their spaceship waiting to blast off to go to the moon. That supposedly happened. Get my video on the moon incident. You'll find out that, well, some strange things there. But what if the astronauts had said, one of them had turned to the other and said, are we going to make it or should we go? Should we go ahead and blast off? They're telling us to push that button. And the other astronaut says, who am I to judge? Folks, I had to do this radio program today. You know, I had to come here at a certain time, as I always do, and do a radio program. But what if I couldn't judge all these things? I'm telling you, who am I to judge on all these things? Why, you know, I don't know. Planned Parenthood, who am I to judge them? They could be a wonderful group. Well, who am I to judge the neocons? Who am I to? Shut up. You're just a dumb guy who calls yourself Pope. Did you hear that guy when he came to America? He couldn't even read his prepared speech. I know he was trying to read it in English. And he was falling all over himself. Why did he have to read it in English? I mean, Jeb Bush goes and speaks to crowds in Spanish. He's an American. Yeah, Jeb Bush speaks to people in Spanish. This is a multicultural country. The Pope wants all these Spaniards to come in, all the Hispanics to come in. So why didn't he talk to us in Spanish? He wanted to prove that he knew broken English. That it, well, he only read. Now, people have been criticizing Barack Obama for 7 years for reading the teleprompter. They say he can't even give a speech. He has to read the teleprompter. That's what the news people do, by the way. They're not very smart at all. They read. They're good readers. They don't even know what they're reading. They just read it. This Pope couldn't even read good. You would have thought he'd at least practice before he gave a speech. But he's there breaking over it. We must pay attention to... come on. And then what he said when you finally made out what the guy was trying to tell you, it was kooky. Kooky. I'm getting choked. He said climate change is the big thing. Climate change is the big thing. We've got to take care of this climate problem, this global warming problem. Now, there is no global warming. You know, if the Pope came again, he came in this ministry, I'd sit him down and say, here, have a cup of coffee. Let's chat. Now, Francis, I hate to tell you this, but global warming has been disproved over and over again. It's a con man's job. You're happen to be a con man. But then on the other hand, why should I do that? He already knows he's a con man. He's an Al Gore, sort of a, you know, fluffy friend of Al Gore's. And then he told the Catholic Church, immigration is important. He told America, invite all these people in. Go ahead and bring them into your country. Thousands, thousands. That's good. That's good. Yeah. And I was recently reading that Matt Staver was the dean at the Liberty University. That's Jerry Falwell's school. You know, he founded that. And Matt Staver was saying, we must take these immigrants in. We must make the illegal immigrants legal. We must do it because the Bible tells us to do it. And I was thinking, wait just a minute. He said this, we cannot deport them. The Bible tells us that would be a sin to deport these illegal aliens. Matt Staver, dean of Liberty University. And I thought, here we have another idiot. If Matt Staver, if you're listening to my voice now, or somebody be kind enough to get in contact with you, if you can prove to me where the Bible says do not deport illegal aliens, well, I'll just give you the key to this ministry. I'll turn it all over to you. I'll shut my mouth. But, of course, he can't do that because the Bible doesn't say that. He made it up. The head of Liberty, the dean there, at least, of Liberty University made that up. Well, now I find out the Southern Baptist Convention, head of the Southern Baptist group, gets over $300 million a year from the U.S. government to help resettle immigrants. Whoa! To resettle refugees. They're being paid over $300 million a year. You know, maybe that's why Matt Staver, well, maybe that's why he says we cannot deport. We cannot follow the laws of this country. You know, Jesus Christ came to a, I don't know whether you call it a turnstile or what, in a road. And it was the border of a province, you know, like one of our states. And the guy said, I work for the government. You can't pass here unless you give me the tax, the money for the tax. Sort of like paying a toll road, you know, today. You can't get on my road. You can't go in to enter this kingdom unless you pay this province, that is, unless you pay some money. It'd be like saying you can't get on this toll road because you got to have money to get on it. His disciples asked Jesus, is it right that they do that to you? You're king of this whole planet. You're master of this whole universe, and they're requiring you to pay money, a tax, that is. He called it a tribute. They're forcing you to pay tribute to go into their province. Why should we do that? They told him. And Jesus said, pay the tax. Pay the tax. We don't want these people to say that we didn't pay their tax. We don't want them to think we're evil. Of course he wouldn't be evil. He could do anything. He doesn't break any law. How could they tell the king of this world, the king of the whole universe, to pay tribute? Nevertheless, Jesus says, pay it up. Pay for it. That's why I pay my income taxes, by the way. I don't like to. Do you? Nobody likes to pay taxes. And, you know, I get out the tax books and try to figure I pay as little as I can, but do it legally. And I guess I growl. What are you grousing about? Well, I had to pay I've just finished my 1040. It's terrible. It took me, you know, days to figure this stuff out. Well, why do I do it, folks? The Bible just tells us to follow the law. As long as the law doesn't go against God. Now we get back to Kim Davis here. I think she did the right thing. Refusing to sign those certificates. The Pope was right. He told her, stay strong. That's what we're told, he told her. But why didn't he let the whole world know he was meeting with Kim Davis? Why did he have to keep it a secret? Why did he only release his information after he had left the United States? Why is he a coward? I don't know. Yes, there's some cowards and then there's not. Hey, to the neoconservatives, you know what they are, don't you? They're new conservatives. They're neoconservatives. Now, the neoconservatives began about the time Nixon was forced out of office. Nixon was a real challenge to the Jews. To the Jews, he and his vice president, Agnew, were a real challenge. They forced Nixon out. And the neocons have been powerful ever since. Of course, it was the neocons that supported George W. Bush that got us into this Middle East war mess and continue to get, you know, Barack Obama deeper and deeper into this middle war destabilization plan. Well, let me tell you who they hate. You see, the neocon Jews, they love immigration. They want to bring in all of these immigrants from China, from Pakistan, from India, from Mexico, from Central and South America, etc., into the United States. They want to break the back of America. They want to change our culture. They want to end Christianity. They can only do those things if they bring in all of these illegal aliens, all of these migrants, all of these refugees. Now, we have more migrants in the United States now, more immigrants, that is, in the United States, proportionately, than we have had for 125 years. Now, imagine that. In 125 years, we have not had so many immigrants as we have today. That's how many we have, and they continue to flood in. Now, we're bombing in Syria. We're killing the Syrian people. We're bombing cities. We're smashing them to bits. Same thing in Iraq. Same thing in Libya. We're just horrible tyrants, devils, the United States is, because Israel is prompting us to do that. And Barack Obama, you know, he wants to get his Obamacare finished. He wants to get his climate change. He wants to get all these liberal projects done. That's his legacy, these liberal projects. Now, the Jews won't let him pass unless he goes their way on foreign policy. So he gives the Jews their foreign policy, Meanwhile, he gets his legacy. That's what it is. He doesn't really want to be the war president. He knows that's not going to get me anywhere. It's going to kill Americans. But they won't support his legacy projects unless he supports their war projects. Now, the neocons are very much into this war. Okay? And they're into the immigration. The war for them will destabilize the Middle East and make Israel a powerful force. Israel will have all the power in the Middle East. They'll be the only nuclear nation. That was the reason for the nuclear talks with Iran. They don't want Iran to have nuclear weapons because Israel right now has nuclear weapons. They're the only ones other than Turkey way up north and Pakistan. But in the immediate area of the Middle East, they want to be the top dogs, and they are. And they can threaten the other nations there, you know. The Sudan, Egypt, you know, Syria, Yemen, etc. So the neoconservative Jews in America definitely want to keep the bombs flowing. They definitely want to keep killing people and destabilizing those countries. And that's good. That'll make Israel go stronger and stronger as those nations turn into hell. They descend into chaos. As they descend into chaos, Israel rises up like the phoenix from the ashes. At the same time, all of those immigrants go to Europe, and Obama says he's going to bring over 200,000 Syrians to the United States. How do they get here? He sends chartered aircraft. Chartered aircraft brings them over to the United States. Then when they get here, of course, he puts them in, you know, buys the condo buildings and all that and puts them in housing and pays all their medical cost and all of their food and gives them a stipend. He gives them Obama phones and the whole bit. We support them entirely for a couple of years. Now, you can't get these things if you're an American citizen. Even if you're a veteran, they're going to cut you off. Look what they're doing to veterans. They're killing them at these hospitals. Killing them. But meanwhile, we're giving full medical services to these refugees that come in. Again, how do they get here? We bring them here on chartered aircraft. Oh, goody, isn't that great? Well, I think we deserve to bring them somewhere and put them in a nice place. After all, we're killing them. We're destroying their homes, their cities. Least we could do is give them a place to stay in America. Well, did you know the United States takes in 70% of all the world's refugees? 70% of all the world's refugees come to the United States. Now Obama says, I want to take in 200,000 Syrians. The neocons love it. Then comes Donald Trump. Donald Trump, right away he says, I'm going to run for president. Okay. The next thing he says is, I'm going to build a wall. And I'm going to deport all the Mexicans here illegally. How many is that? Well, some say 12 million, 11 million. Others have said the Center for Immigration Reform says 48.2 million. 48 million illegal aliens in America. He says, I'm going to deport them all. I'm going to build a wall, keep more from coming, and I'm going to deport them. Oh, my goodness. The Jews have been having nightmares over that. We want America to fall. We want the culture debased. We want to bring all these foreigners in. And, of course, Obama's saying, oh, well, I want all these foreigners, too. Why? They all vote Democrat. Why do they vote Democrat? Because it's the Democrats that give them all the goodies. So, Donald Trump, the neocons hate him. Now, when I come back in a moment, I'm going to tell you what's happening, how the neocons are ganging up on him. They're doing everything they can to stop Donald Trump. That tells me maybe we ought to support Donald Trump, doesn't it? If the neocon Jews hate this man, they're all together colluding, conspiring to destroy him. Maybe we should support him. We'll think about that. I'll be right back. This is Tex Morris. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, folks. This is Tex Morris again. You know, we have two great books by a gentleman named M.S. King, Mike King. And Mike has written this two-volume series. Each book is over 300 pages in length. They're the big books. Over 300 large pages in each book. The titles, Planet Rothschild. Wow. Planet Rothschild, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Now, I'm going to encourage you to get these books. I've read them and read them and just enjoyed them because they're great history books, and they tell you, they'll show you the start of the Rothschilds way, way back in the 1700s, and it brings you up all the way to the 21st century today. And you see the crooked deals, the corruption, and boy, all the money these Rothschilds have made and who they've supported and so forth and where we're going now. Planet Rothschild, they control this earth with trillions of dollars in their foundations and their trust and so forth. Planet Rothschild, two books, just $35, over 600 pages in all, just $35. Just add $5 for shipping and handling. As for the two volumes that are the two books, Planet Rothschild, send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, that's Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go to our website, that's powerofprophecy.com, or textmars.com, and the books will be advertised there, and you can use your PayPal or your charge card and order them right there on the internet. Or phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. By the way, we hope you do order them from the ministry, and when you do, if you could give an extra love gift of $5, $10, $15, $20, it would be so much appreciated. This month, you know, we've been having Employees Appreciation Month, and many of you have been so kind in giving to the employees, and believe me, this is a big help. You know, we don't have medical care for our people here. We don't have a retirement system. We don't have all those benefits and goodies and things. And I know these folks could make more money elsewhere. And they're doing a great job, every one of them. And if you could send a love gift for them, just make sure it's designated for the Employees Appreciation Month. Just say for the employees, for your staff techs. And what we do is we, at a certain time, we keep track of everything that comes in, and we add up the money, and then we split it. Every employee gets the same amount. Now, maybe, I don't know if that's good or bad, you know, maybe one employee says, well, so-and-so worked harder than I did once. Actually, our people, all of them work hard. And, you know, if I have to, we have a problem. I remember one day here, we had a terrible rainstorm. Boy, it was bad. And the book warehouse was flooded. It was about 2 in the morning, 3 maybe. And I just decided to go down and check. You know, I lived about, 10 minutes or so from the warehouse. And I came and, oh, my goodness, there was about 2 or 3 inches of water. And it was still raining. It was still getting worse. And we called and we had, you know, the whole staff here just working, taking the books that were they're dry and moving them somewhere else. And then we had to go outside and in the rain, root the water, you know, make a little place for it to run down the hill and away from the building and all that. And no one complained. When I called them in the early hours of the morning, they never said, oh, I can't do that. I'm sleepy. No, they came. They came and they worked hard and they saved us thousands of dollars, this ministry, by saving those books. Our employees do need your help. So if you can give a love gift for the employees, I would so much appreciate it. Just say, this is for the employees. You can give you can buy this book set $35, add $5 shipping and handling. That's $40. Then you can add another $10 and say that's for the employees. But make sure you designate, tell us how much for the employees and whatever. Thank you for that. Thank you. I know they would. It's a glad day when we give each a proportionate share. We don't get a huge amount in, but it's enough to just say thank you. And these people, you know, you might sometimes when you're ordering a book or something for the ministry, just thank these workers. And they love you. And they know many of you by first name or last name, you know, and so they know you and they love your phone calls. It's not a burden for us to fulfill your order. It is a honor for us to hear you on the phone and to know that you're doing well. You're still reading. You're still challenging the old devil. And boy, we love that. We love the truth tellers out there. You know, we ought to change this ministry, call it the Truth Tellers League of America. Of course, it's all over the world. That's, you know, from the Ukraine to Romania or Ireland, you know. The Truth Tellers organization. Well, that's what you are to us. And, you know, you love the truth. That's the thing about these folks, Jerry. They love the truth. And that's why it's so much fun working here. You know, I get on this radio. I know I'm an old crank sometime. Maybe I need to be replaced. But I'm still telling the truth. And folks enjoy that. They enjoy hearing the truth. All the propaganda on the radio and TV, and we're lied to so often. Did you know a new poll showed that 50% of all Americans, that's a huge number, 50% of all Americans believe that our government is a threat and a danger to our freedoms and liberties. Our own government, 50% of the people believe that. And so some people may write to me and say, well, what about the other 50%? Well, if you have 50% believing in anything in America, that's something. Now, the other 50%, they're probably dummies. They don't even know who the president of the United States is, don't know who George Washington is. They're just out there on some kind of meth or marijuana trip. They don't know anything. But 50% of the people are smart enough to know that their own government is a threat to their freedoms and liberties. You know what? I'll bet you 98% of the people that listen to this radio program know that. I bet 99% of them know that. And the other 1% are thinking it could be possible, and that's why they're listening today to us. Okay, well, enough said. Let's return to our regular program. We're looking at secrets today. It's a volume of secrets. Oh, we have so many for you. Hey, Glenn Beck, he's a neocon. Now, he's not Jewish himself. He's a Mormon. But the Mormon and the Jews are connected at the hip. Believe me, I've done radio programs. The Mormons and the Jews are connected. There is a connection. Of course, the Mormons is the largest cult in so-called Christendom. They're a cult. Now, if you're going to write to me and say the Mormons are good Christians, you just don't. They say that Jesus had to earn his godhood. And you too can be a god. But you've got to earn your way up, just like Jesus earned his way up. What? No, Jesus was God from the beginning. John 1. They don't pay attention to the Bible. They make it up. By the way, I'm writing a new book, and I'm writing about Mormonism as part of it. And I found in there that there's a book by Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism. He said, you know, God gave him these tablets, and or an angel did, Moroni. I think it's Moroni, or Moroni. I don't know. I can't, well, maybe it's the way I pronounce it, huh? Anyway, he says Christians are going to go to hell. All Christians will go to hell. I mean, honestly, that's what he says. All Christians are going to go to hell. But don't worry. Joseph Smith said, it's not such a bad place. He said, it's quite an agreeable place. I think all Christians are going to go to hell, but don't worry. It's quite an agreeable place. Well, I do think he didn't know when he wrote it what hell was like, but he does know now. I bet he doesn't think it's very agreeable today. By the way, he was a Freemason, you know, he was a member of the Masonic Lodge. His dying words are recorded as saying, is there no help for the widow's son? As he lay dying, he cried out, is there no help for the widow's son? Who is the widow? That's the mother harlot. That's the goddess of Babylon. That's mystery Babylon the Great. There is a woman figure, a feminine figure in Freemasonry, because Judaism is the very font of Freemasonry. Not really Judaism, it's the Kabbalah. Albert Pike, 33 degree, sovereign grand commander of Freemasonry, said that he has utter admiration for the Kabbalah, the Jewish Kabbalah. That's their religious books. The Zohar is the main one. The splendors of the Zohar, let me be exact. The Kabbalah. Well, back to the neocons now. Glenn Beck, he says, hey, we can't have Trump. We can't have Donald Trump as the presidential candidate. And, you know, I knew he would say this because he's a neocon. He went over to Israel and kissed up to those people. Now, Bill Kristol, same thing. He's a contributor there on Fox News. He said, if Trump is nominated, I will not back him. He said, if Trump is nominated, he's going to start a third party. Isn't that interesting? The neocons, Bill Kristol says, we will start a third party if Trump is nominated. And who will lead the third party? Uh-huh. Get it, folks. Romney. Old Romney. He's waiting in the wings. If Trump gets the Republican nomination, Bill Kristol says, we will support Romney. Governor Romney, the former pro-gay, pro-socialist medicine governor of Massachusetts, old Romney is back. He will have a third party. Well, you know, Romney is Mormon. And as I told you, Mormonism and Judaism are connected. Well, let's get to John Boehner, Speaker of the House. He's leaving. He says these mean old conservatives of the Tea Party got to him. He's leaving. But before he left, he went to see Nancy Pelosi. He said, sorry, darling, but I got to leave. Yes, darling, the conservatives got to me. I'm going to leave. But don't worry. When I leave, I'm going to leave everything perfect for you. We're going to approve the funding bill. We're going to approve Planned Parenthood. We're going to give money. We're not going to defund it. We're going to fund it. Not only that, he said, we're going to fund all of Obamacare. Whatever Obama wants, he gets, baby. Well, he didn't really use baby and honey and sweetheart. He may have. I don't know. I can't say for sure. That's utter speculation on my part. You know, a recent poll showed that 62% of Republicans, that's the literate crowd, 62%, that's the high information crowd, 62% of all Republicans believe that their party leaders have betrayed them. That's two-thirds. Two out of every three say our party leaders have betrayed us. Who are the party leaders? Well, Senator McConnell from Kentucky. He's betrayed the Republican Party. He's betrayed every American. Senator McConnell has. And then there's Boehner. He's betrayed them. Now, Boehner's going to get out. He's going to be a fancy multimillionaire lobbyist. That's what his intention is. You know, he needs a lot of money because he does a lot of drinking of liquor. You can see that from his red face. A lot of drinking there. The Republicans say, you, Boehner, and you, McConnell, have betrayed us. They're calling for McConnell to step down now from the Senate. Now, Boehner stepped down, but he arranged to have his assistant, the majority leader, that's the number two congressman. He's the guy that really runs everything on day-to-day operations. Now, who is the majority leader? That's Congressman McCarthy. No relationship to Senator McCarthy, who is a great man. No, this guy is a lying pig. Did I call it? Did I just do that, Jerry? Call him? Did I lose my senses? No, he is a lying pig. He's the majority leader. He's the guy who's given us Obamacare. He and John Boehner met secretly at the White House for 7 years. They've been meeting for 7 years planning Obamacare and funding it. And Planned Parenthood's operations, and funding them. Now, what does Planned Parenthood do? Did you know that the Congress had a committee meeting chaired by Congressman, I think it was Chaffetz? He's a Jew who converted to Mormonism. Did you know that? Congressman Chaffetz is chairman of the House and Government Operations, the Government and Operations Committee. He has Cecile Richards there, and supposedly, he was going to blast her back in the horrible baby parts. These killers. All these abortions at Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood says only 3% of their money, you know, comes, only 3% of their operations are abortions. Only 3%. We don't do that many abortions. Did you know what? Congressman Chaffetz got out there. Financial statements. You see, every nonprofit organization has to submit a financial statement at the end of the year. It's basically a tax return without paying any taxes. It turns out that 87% of all their money comes from giving abortions. Did you hear what I just said? They say, oh, we're in the black neighborhoods and we have these women with abortions that don't have any money. And only 3% of our money comes from that, but it turns out they're liars. It's not 3%. It's 87%. 87% of all their funding comes from abortions. They charge for giving these abortions. And then they take the babies and cut them up in little pieces and sell that too, the baby parts. Congressman Chaffetz, this Jewish guy who's converted to Mormonism, was in charge of the hearings. Now, let me tell you what they're going to do about that. Nothing. Are they going to defund? We get $530 million a year. $530 million a year from the federal treasury goes to Planned Parenthood. So they can cut up these babies, kill little babies, and then cut them up, sell the body parts. $530 million comes from us, you and me, folks, to this abortion mill. And they're going to continue to get it. Let me tell you why. Because Congressman Boehner says they are. Now, I want to explain this to you. There's no requirement that we give a nonprofit organization $530 million from the Treasury. If there was, I'd pick the church that had a good program. There was I don't know of any of the 501c3 that have any. But I'd take a 501c3 church and say, fund that. Well, they do give $300 million to the Southern Baptists to help resettle immigrants. Poor God. No wonder the church has betrayed America. The church has betrayed America too. Now, we're giving over $500 million to Planned Parenthood. What would it take not to give to them? Well, just a decision by the House of Representatives. You see, folks, I taught constitutional law at a university. I taught American law. I taught courses like American state and local government. I taught introduction to political science and so forth. And let me tell you, the House of Representatives has the exclusive right to start any bill in the process that has to do with money. They're the only ones that can start a money bill. They're the only ones that can approve money. Now, they don't have to defund Planned Parenthood. They don't have to not... Let me explain to you. Omission is what they can do, not commission. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. For example, if the Air Force wanted a new jet aircraft and it was going to cost, let's say, $5 billion, the Air Force has to go and say, I'd like an aircraft, a new aircraft. It's going to cost $5 billion, and the Congress has to fund that. If Congress does not put money in their budget, there is no fighter. They have to put money in the budget or there's no money. They have to fund schools. They have to fund the military. They have to fund the Agriculture Department, the Environmental Protection Agency. They have to fund every one of these agencies. If they don't give any money, then there's no agency. I don't know if for example, Donald Trump says he's going to cut back the budget of the Department of Education because education is a local matter, not a federal matter. So why are we spending billions on the education? Why not let the people keep that money and pay it themselves at the local level? Sounds like a good idea to me. But listen to me, folks. If you don't want to give money for Planned Parenthood, then don't give them money. It's as simple as that. Now everybody's talking about, are you going to defund Planned Parenthood? What they're really asking our Congress is, are you going to purposely put money in the federal budget for Planned Parenthood? Are you going to actually write it in? Are you going to approve the budget, send it over to the Senate and then to the White House, giving them $530 million? Or are you just going to leave it out? Just omit it. They don't have to say $530 million is disapproved. They don't say disapproved. Now, I don't know how many times I have to say this because people say, yo, they've got to defund it. No, they don't have to defund it. Now, you know, I'd like $100 million for a new ministry building here. But it's not in the budget. It's not in the federal budget. Now, if I wrote my congressman and said, why isn't it in the budget? He'd say, well, we just don't want to fund it. Well, why don't you put in there, you're not approved, Tex Morris, for $100 million for your new building? He said, we don't need to put anything in there. It's just not funded. It's automatic. You don't get the money. They don't have to say, Texas Mars, you don't get $100 million. They don't say anything. They just leave it blank. So there does not need to be a vote taken. You understand what I'm saying? There's no vote. They just leave out the money. Congress does not have to vote on Planned Parenthood. They pretend they do. They're deceiving us. It's deceit. It's a lie. It's a filthy lie. They don't have to defund the Planned Parenthood. They just don't give them the money. Now, I spent 10 minutes to explain that to you. You understand it? The environmentalists are going wacko. The head of the Environmental Protection Agency is taking people's land unconstitutionally. Then don't give them any money to do it. They can't pay their agents. If we're fighting wars in the Middle East and we've lost 5,000 American fighting men and women, which we have, and you don't want to see them die anymore, then don't give money for the war. It's simple. Just don't fund it. You don't have to say, we choose not to give money. Don't say anything. Just don't fund it. But they're claiming that they've got to defund it, making you think they've got to vote on it. And they don't want to vote on it. Oh, they're just going to put it in their budget. They're going to put it in their budget. Then they vote on the overall budget. It's just one little piece of the pie, and they vote on the whole pie that's in there too. And Boehner and McConnell say it's going to be in there. But about 90% of all the Republicans say, we hate the Planned Parenthood, the horrible things they're doing. They're the devil's tool. But Boehner and McConnell say, so what? Da-da-da-da-da-da. We're going to give them the money. We're going to put it in the budget. Whoa. They're defying the people. That's why the people feel betrayed. Now, they did this on Obamacare, too. They lied to you and said, we have voted 51 times saying no to Obamacare. 51 times the House voted. But after they voted to to disapprove Obamacare, then they turned around and voted to put the money in. You know, do you understand what I'm saying, folks? If a hobo knocked on your door and said, I want you to give me your bedroom, you say, well, I don't have an extra bedroom. Well, you got to spend the money and make one and put a bed in and put a nice, you know, a chest of drawers, and you got to do it because I want it, the hobo says to you. Just slam the door in his face. That's all. But if you put the money in your budget to buy him a bed, to fix up the bedroom, to put a chest of drawers in, then you invite him to your home. Well, that's your decision. It's a wrong decision, probably. He might kill you and your whole family while y'all are sleeping, but that's okay. I mean, that's what you chose to do. They are choosing abortion. They're choosing to harvest body parts. Boehner and McConnell are monsters. And they don't care what you think. They're going to get their money. They're going to get their money. Why do you think Planned Parenthood gets so much? They give money to the political people who back them. They give all this money out. I suspect if you go to the Clinton Foundation, you'll find a lot of money there at Planned Parenthood. They get it from the government, then they give it to their favorite groups. And by the way, if you want to know where the Planned Parenthood gets a lot of money, the United Way. Do you give money to the United Way? Maybe you do at work. Maybe they come to your house and you give them a little check every year. You say, oh, I'm doing so good. They run the food bank. They help the poor. They do this. They do that. Yes, and they also fund abortions at Planned Parenthood. Now, am I against United Way? Yes, I am. Am I against funding charities? No, I'm not. If you want to give to charities, you give. If you want to give the Salvation Army, give to them directly. If you know of a food bank or, you know, a Meals for Wheels or something that's helping the poor, helping people, then support them. But don't give to the Planned Parenthood by giving to United Way. Just tell United Way, when you stop your money going to Planned Parenthood, we'll start giving you money. Oh, they get money from the government. They get money from United Way. All these. See, we don't even know that. If you ask Americans, 90% of them don't even know that Planned Parenthood is giving abortions. That's what they do with their money. And 87% of their money comes from abortions. Boy, they have a big budget, don't they? Now, Cecile Richards. Her mother was Ann Richards, governor, lesbian, cocaine-taking governor of Texas. You say, how do I know that? Because this is true. They can sue me if it's not true. And they can sue me. Ah, well, Ann Richards, you know, she went through Alcoholics Anonymous, 12-step programs and all that to get rid of her drug habit and all. Yeah, okay, sure she did. Oh, she wasn't a lesbian. Oh, yeah. I know what Ann Richards was. We Texans know. Hey, Planned Parenthood gave money toward a project about 2 weeks ago. You'll be proud of it, folks. Carly Fiorina, Republican candidate for president, was speaking. And during her talk, suddenly people stood up in the audience and started showering her with packages of condoms. You see, she had criticized Planned Parenthood and their harvesting of babies during one of the presidential debates. And those Planned Parenthood people didn't like it. And they sent their agents over pretending to be her fans, and they stood up and began to throw condoms at her. Now, I don't know. I don't care whether you like Carly Fiorina or not. That's a dirty deal. That's what Planned Parenthood is all about. They're a filthy group. Filthy. By the way, Carly Fiorina, I don't support her, but I certainly wouldn't throw anything at her, including condoms. She's a rhino, Republican in name only. Karl Rove and John McCain were her big supporters. George W. Bush liked her. She says the first thing she'll do as president is call Netanyahu. Ask him, you know, are we doing enough for you? Are we doing enough? We're giving them billions. Man. By the way, she complains because, you know, Donald Trump said, look at that face. You know, I wouldn't vote for a person with that face. Well, I don't think that was very nice of Donald Trump. Don't talk about somebody's looks. Goodness gracious. She probably does the best she can. That's not the thing to talk about. But listen to me. When she was running for senator of California, she said, look at that face, talking about Barbara Boxer, her opponent, her Republican boss. She made fun of Barbara Boxer's face. You know, sometimes when you do that, things come right back on you, don't they? She made fun of Barbara Boxer's looks, and now Donald Trump is making fun of her looks. Boy, I don't know if God did that or not, but he sure has a way of evening scores, doesn't he? Boy, she's a big war hawk, a neocon, and she's not even a Jew, apparently. Well, let's see what else we got here. Oh, yes, we got a lesbian, an activist. Her name is Masha Gessen, G-E-S-S-E-N. She was on radio recently. She says, I'm a lesbian, but homosexuals are lying about our political agenda. We do not want to access the institution of marriage. We want to radically redefine and eventually eliminate it. Isn't that something? She says, the institution of marriage should not exist. Fighting for gay marriage involves lying about what we're going to do with marriage once we get there. We lie. We say the institution of marriage is not going to change. But it is. We're going to get rid of it. Folks, that's what the lesbians are doing. That's what the homosexuals want to do. They want to get rid of marriage. Hey, we're running out of time here. Wish I had more time to talk about Russia. They're doing our job. They're fighting ISIS. They're kicking ISIS out of Syria. Good for them. America's the one paying for ISIS. We sponsored ISIS. And Russia's there kicking them out. They're doing our job. Of course, we claim it's our job. We haven't done anything for 4 years to kick out ISIS. The Russians are going to do our job for us. Good. Putin's a great man. I nominate him for the Nobel Peace Prize. He says, I'm the defender of Christianity. Since America is no longer a Christian country. Well, who said that? Well, our president, Barack Obama. Putin says, we recognize all religions. We give freedom to all religions in Russia. But we are a Christian nation. Wow. Gays don't like him. He's a great man. I wish he was president of the United States. Folks, ran out of time. I had so much more to go. This Blood Moon stuff, pure nonsense. It's based on the Jewish holidays. Holy days, it is. The Jewish holidays, they're gone. They're gone. That's nothing you should be involved in. That's even the Apostle Paul said, don't let anybody judge you based on your so-called holy days. Let's go. This is Tex Morris, my friend, and it's been great being with you again. We have so many things. I just get. This is a big week. It really is a big week. My friends, each week during the same time, tune in to this station or right here on streaming audio on the internet. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.